song. I'll hold my ground. I'm gonna crash the lies of the enemy. I won't back down, 'cause I'm not alone. With you, my God, I'll conquer. Oh,
Today is a very special Sunday. Does anyone know what it is? Do you know? That's right, it's Easter. And I'm sure some of you know why that's so important in the Big God story. But if you don't worry. That's exactly what we are going to be talking about today. And by the end, you'll know why it's such a big deal. But before we begin, let's pray and ask God to teach us. God, thank you for this special Sunday for Easter that represents all that your Son and you have done for us. Lord, we pray that you would teach us something new about the Big God story this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so in the beginning of the Big God story, God created the heavens and the earth. Wow. The rivers, the oceans, the animals, all of it. But last of all, he created the first man and woman. Wow. So the first people, we can read about that in Genesis, were created by God to be in a relationship with him and live in this beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden. Their names were Adam and Eve, but sadly, they chose to sin, which broke their close relationship with God and forced them to leave the garden. Right, but God promised that one day a Redeemer would come to restore that relationship. This promised Redeemer would be the salvation for everyone. He would die and raise again. And so after God made this promise, people began to wait for the promise to be fulfilled. Eventually, the world became so evil that God decided to destroy all of mankind with a flood, except for one man. He remained righteous, meaning he was still following God, and his name was Noah. It rained for 40 days, 40 nights, and Noah and his family were safe in the ark with two of every animal. Eventually, the rain stopped, and Noah and his family were able to start over again. And when the rain stopped, God made a covenant with Noah using a rainbow as a sign that he would never destroy mankind with this flood, kind of flood, ever again. Yeah. And after this, Noah and his family began to fill the earth with people. From Noah's family line came a man named Abraham. And from Abraham's family came the nation of Israel. Israel would show others the love relationship between God and mankind so other nations would want to know God too. The promised Redeemer also came from Abraham's family line. In Genesis 17:5, it says, "You will not be called Abram anymore. Your name will be Abraham because I have made you a father of many nations." Wow. So Abram and his wife Sarah miraculously had a son named Isaac when they were really old, like really old. And God told them in Genesis 17:19, "But your wife Sarah will have a son by you, and his name will be Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him. The covenant will last forever, and it will be for Isaac and his family after him." So Isaac's son, Jacob, whose name God later changed to Israel, had 12 sons. And you might not know one of those sons whose name was Joseph, right? He was sold into slavery in Egypt by his own brothers. There, God raised Joseph up into power under the king of Egypt. And during a time without food, Joseph's entire family came to Egypt to get food, but they ended up staying there with Joseph. Joseph was in charge of all the storehouse and the grain, and because God put Joseph there, his family survived. Yeah. And later the Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians, so they cried out for a Redeemer. But God chose Moses to lead the Israelites from Egypt into the Promised Land, where they could worship God. While the Israelites were out in the wilderness, God gave them rules for how to live their lives. But because the Israelites didn't trust that God would help them conquer the land, they spent 40 years wandering in the desert. Oh man. So here's what God tells his people in Exodus 6, 7, and 8. "I will take you to be my own people, and I will be your God. I throw off the load of the Egyptians have put on your shoulders. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. I will bring you to the land I promised to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like we talked about. I lifted up my hand and promised it to them. The land will belong to you. I am the Lord." So after those 40 years, after the many years of wandering in the wilderness, when it was finally time to go into the promised land, a new generation grew up with a new respect for God and his power And they were not tempted to worship those false gods.
Yeah,
and a man named Joshua led this new generation. And after years of battle, God conquered the Promised Land. And the Israelites settled down and lived under leaders called judges for more than 450 years later. Later, God's people cried out again for a king. David was one of those kings. He was a humble shepherd and the second king of Israel, but their very first righteous king, their first king that followed God. David knew and loved God. His son Solomon became the last king of the united 12 tribes of Israel. And eventually, God allowed a rebellion to happen and the nation split into two. So the line of the promised Redeemer now followed the tribe of Judah in the south. Judah was eventually captured by Babylon. Soon, the city of Jerusalem and the home of God's people was completely destroyed and the people were in exile. Though God's people had been scattered, faith stayed alive in some of God's people in Judah and in Babylon. Eventually, Babylon fell to the Persian Empire, and Esther, an Israelite, one of God's chosen people, became the queen of Persia. And God used Esther to save the people from death. Also, the king of Persia paid for Nehemiah to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and its walls. At this point in the big God story, though, something strange happens. God was silent. Though he was still working and he was still moving the lives of his people, we don't have any record, any biblical record of his words for nearly 400 years before we hear the opening words in the New Testament. So in the first pages of Matthew and Luke, we read that the promise God had made in the garden remained true throughout the passing of time. The moment that had been promised since the garden finally happened in a small town called Bethlehem. It says this in Luke 2:10 through 11. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I will bring you good news. It will be great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" The Redeemer was finally here.
Finally.
So Jesus grew up leading a perfect life. He never sinned. And then when he was 30 years old, he began his ministry. He called 12 disciples and taught them about who he was and how they should live. He cared for the poor, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, and he saved the outcasts. Wow, he lived and announced God's kingdom on earth. In the coming weeks, we will hear more about Jesus' time on earth and how he taught others about God's kingdom. But Jesus' main purpose in coming to earth was to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. His death on the cross made the way for God's people to be redeemed and restored to their relationship with him. Let's read the story together in Luke 23. It says, "It was now about noon, and then darkness covered the whole land until 3 o'clock. The sun had stopped shining. The temple curtain was torn in two, and Jesus called out in a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my life.' And after he said this, he took his last breath." A Roman commander saw what had happened and he praised God, saying, "Jesus was surely a man who did what was right." And some translations say, "Surely this man was the Son of God." But that wasn't the end. Then Jesus rose from the dead. His love was so powerful that death could not hold him. Let's finish reading the passage. It says this: "It was very early in the morning on the first day of the week. The women took the spices they had prepared. Then they went to the tomb. They found the stone had rolled away from it. When they entered the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were wondering this. Suddenly, two men in clothes as bright as lightning stood beside them. The women were terrified. They bowed down with their faces to the ground. Then the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you he would rise?'" That's why today is so important. Easter is meant to remind us of this promise. After Jesus rose again, he went to heaven and sent down the Holy Spirit, who gives his people the power to live out our salvation. Today, the Holy Spirit works in each of our lives, allowing us to be a part of his story until he returns again.
Yeah, he is risen and he is alive. Because Jesus is alive and all powerful, he will return in victory, riding on a white horse to announce that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Those who love God and have accepted Jesus will live with him in heaven forever, in relationship with God, the way it all began in the garden, the way it should be. And from that day on, we will be with the Lord and Redeemer forever and ever. Today, we heard about how from the very beginning of the story, that God had planned to send Jesus, the Redeemer, to restore the relationship between God and his people. We heard about some of the ways that God revealed to himself to people throughout time and how Jesus will come back someday to restore everything back to the way it was at the beginning. One of the coolest things that we heard today is that when we believe in Jesus, we get to be a part of the big God story. Because Jesus died and is alive, we can be a part of his story. When we know God's son, Jesus, we get to be his children and play a special role in this story. Maybe you've never known that you can be a part of God's big story. So if you want to confess with your mouth or say out loud, say yes to Jesus because you believe it in your heart today, I want you to repeat after me. You can follow along with Skylar. Say, Jesus, I admit that I'm not perfect. Jesus, I admit that I'm not perfect. I have sinned and I've tried to do things my own way. I have sinned and I've tried to do things my own way. And I am ready to surrender my life to you. And I am ready to surrender my life to you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Thank you for paying the price for my sin. Thank you for paying the price for my sin so that I could live with you forever one day. So that I can live with you forever one day. I confess that you are the one true God. I confess that you are the one true God, and I am choosing to give my life to you. And I am choosing to give my life to you and follow your ways from this day forward. And follow your ways from this day forward. Amen.
Amen.
So maybe you've already heard this story, but there is someone in your life that needs to hear it. We want you to find like a parent or a brother or sister, maybe even a friend, and share ways that God has brought you to play a role in the big God story. But before we finish here today, we want to celebrate that Jesus is alive one more time.
Yeah.
Let's do that together now.
As I reflect, I find perspective. They're in the best and worst days of this life. Tell me this, my God isn't finished yet.
My God isn't finished yet. If he did it before, he can do it again. So I'll trust him with what comes next. Cause my hindsight says I can count on this. My God isn't finished yet. If he did it before, he can do it again. So I'll trust him with what comes next. For the God I know is known for faithfulness. Yeah, my hindsight says I can trust him with what's next. For the God I know is known for faithfulness.
Okay, so now it's time for the blessing. So if you could hold out your hands like this while I say the blessing over you. May God fill you with his love and joy in life this week. May you be a blessing to others.